Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 10 lines from the top of Daf Pei Ches. The Mishnah taught Dam Hanitaz, blood that spurted during the Shechita, during the slaughtering process, Vesha'al Hasakin, and blood that remains on the knife. This needs to be covered. Kisui Hadam needs to be done to the Dam Hanitas and Dam Shalasakin. As we notice in the Gemara, we have a couple of Tanaic sources that is represented by the framed sections, and the beginning of each source has a diamond around the opening word. The Gemara will be darshaning the posuk that says V'chisohu be'afar, primarily the word v'chisol, and what it teaches us. On the outside margin, we offer you a nosei and mivneh heading, a nosei topic, mivneh structural note, concerning the Gemara that we're about to learn. So we have written on the side where you see a diamond featured, shnei brisos, two Tanaic sources, shedorshim v'chisohu be'afar, that darshin that posuk, shemelamdin, that teach us, shegam dam hanitas boi kisui, that the blood that spurts also needs to be covered. Muva bohen, there will be presented in these two sources, machloikis tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, beinyan ezadam boi kisui, which blood needs to be covered? Omasai amrinon, and when do we say degam dam hanitas boi kisui? When is it that the blood that spurts also needs to be covered? Now, the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, v'chisohu. This is a quote from the Pasuk. Melamed shedam hanitas v'sha'al hasakin chayav l'chasas. This teaches us that in addition to the blood that comes out during the Shechita and falls to the ground, also blood that spurts and that remains on the knife needs to be covered. Omer Bihuda, Amosai. Rebuta qualifies, when is this the case? Bizman she'ein sham dam elohu, that there is no other blood to be covered other than the spurted blood or that which is on the knife. Aval yesh sham dam shelohu, if there's other dam other than that which spurts, or spurts meaning spurts and lands on something else. If there is other dam there, then potur milachasos, then the blood that had spurted and landed on something else or on the knife, that does not need to be covered. Tanyo idach v'chisahu. Once again, we darshan this word melameh shekol domo chayav lachasos, that all of the blood needs to be covered. Mikan omru, based on this, it has been taught dam hanitas v'shal agapayim chayav lachasos, blood that spurts and lands on other things. Vishal agapayim, Rashi explains, that's blood that's on the neck of the animal that was shechted. That needs to be covered. Chayav l'chasos. Omar Rabban Shimon Gamliel b'med v'morim. When is this the case? Shelo kisa dam hanefesh. That's if he did not cover the blood that's called the life blood, the blood that through which the animal's soul departs. Aval kisa dam hanefesh, if he covered that blood called the dam hanefesh, the life blood, then potur milachasis, then the blood that's on the walls of the neck and the spurted blood do not need to be covered. Between these sources, there actually are three Tanaic opinions, and the Gemara points that out. B'mai komiflegi, what are they arguing about? What are the different shitas regarding kisui hadam? Rabbanan savri, domoi, kol domoi. The Rabbanon hold that the word in the Torah domo, that the Torah says that the blood needs to be covered, is means kol domo, all of the blood. Rabbi Yehuda Savar domo, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the term domo implies vafilu miksas domo, even part of the blood. Meaning, as we saw in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that if there was other dam, then the blood that's left on the knife does not need to be covered. Rav Shimon Liel Savar, Domo Hamiyuchad. Rav Shimon Liel holds that the basic mitzvah is to cover the special blood, and what we referred to before as dam nefesh, the lifeblood. If we glance in the Rashi, just a little bit down from here, Avol Kiso Dam HaNefesh V'chulei, V'Shalosh Machloikos Hein. There are three opinions represented between these two sources. Rabbonon Savri, Kulei Boi Kisui. All the blood needs to be covered. Ula Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Dam HaNefesh Lo Boi Kisui, Elo Miksaso. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, even the life blood doesn't need to be completely covered, just part. Kidiktoni, as it was taught, the dam hanitas poter milachasos, vafilu hu dam hanefesh, the blood that spurts, even if that happened to be the dam hanefesh, it does not need to be covered. Ubelvad shei sham dam acher, provided there's other blood that can be covered. Ula rabon Shimon ben Gamliel, dam hanefesh kulei boi kisui. As far as Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned, when it comes to the lifeblood, that needs to be covered entirely. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda was willing to compromise even on the dam hanefesh, that you don't have to cover all of the dam hanefesh, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel requires all of the dam hanefesh, the lifeblood, to be covered. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic. The issue dealt with here is featured under our no say, the topic heading, Be'ezidvorim, what materials are suitable for kisui. Be'ezidvorim nitan l'kayem mitzvahs kisui adam. The Mishnah. Bameh mechasin uvamo ein mechasin. Through which materials do we fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam, and which materials are not suitable? So the Mishnah answers, mechasin bezevel hadak. One can cover with fine fertilizer or manure, that apparently the manure dries, the dung dries up, and you can then pulverize it and use that as kisui. Ubechoil hadak, with the fine earth, besid, lime, ubecharosis, ubelevena, ubemegufa, shekoshan. Charosis is a shard or a brick, or that's a levena, and megufa is a barrel seal, barrel cover that seals barrels shut. Any of these things that shekoshan, that were ground up. So if you have a shard of a clay shard or a brick or a barrel cover that are ground up, that's suitable for kisui. Avol. However, ein mechasin, now the Mishnah tells us, answers the second part of the question, what is not suitable? Loi bezevel hagas, not with clumpy dung, velo b'chol hagas, nor with clumpy earth, velo b'levena uvemegufa shelo koshan, nor one may use a brick or a barrel seal that has not been pulverized, crushed, velo yichpe olov esakli. Likewise, one should not invert a vessel over the blood and claim that's its covering. Klal omar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us a rule. Davar shemegadel boi tzmochim mechasin bo. Something that material that plants can grow in, that is material that's good for kisui. V'she'eno megadel tzmochim, but material that does not promote plant growth, ein mechasin bo. That's not suitable for kisui hadam. As we continue in the Gemara, there will be two lashonos, two versions regarding the chol hadak or chol hagas, as will become clear when we continue in the Gemara. Hechi domi chol hadak. What is the standard that we can apply to earth in order to determine that it's fine, fine earth. Omar Rabba Bar Chan Rabbi Yochanan, Kol She'ein HaYotzer Tzorech L'Kasho. The Yotzer is a potterer. He makes clay vessels using earth as his raw material. So if it's earth that is ready for use insofar as it doesn't need to be crushed any further, this would fulfill the requirement of Chol Hadak, which was one of the materials cited in the Mishnah that's suitable for Kisui. V'ika demasni lo asefa. There are those that teach discussion, particularly Rabba Bar Chan Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, in a slightly different version, but teach that on the Seifa, the latter part of the Tanaic sort of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "Avol ein mechasen lo bezevel hagas v'lo b'chol hagas." One cannot use clumpy dung nor clumpy earth. Hechi domi chol hagas. Well, what is the standard by which we can define something that's called chol hagas, clumpy earth? Omar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, kol shehayotzer tzorech l'kasho. If the potterer needs to crush it, that would be a sign that it's called chol hagas and therefore not suitable for kisui. So we have two versions of Rabba Bar Chanan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Mai binayu, what would be a point of difference between these two versions? Iko binayu, a point of difference would be ditzorach velotzorach, demifrich efruchi. It's something that's a certain type of, let's say, earth clumpy or clumpy size that needs partially to be crushed, and when taken in hand, it will fall apart. It doesn't need any special crushing vessels or devices in order to make it fine. So it's described as tzorach velo tzorach demifrich efruchi. Let us look at the Rashi. Rashi ika binayu ditzorach velo tzorach lelishna kamo deomar. According to the first version that said, ein tzorach kori chol hadaku mutar, something that doesn't need to be crushed is called chol hadak and hence useful and appropriate for kisui. Hai nami bichlal ein tzorach hu. This quality of dirt is also considered ein tzorach. The Torah's chol hadak olav umuter, and the law applies to chol hadak will apply here, telling us that it is allowed to be used. Ulelishna basra the kori chol hagas the osir kol shetzorach lekasho. According to the second version that said chol hagas, which is not suitable, is anything that needs to be crushed. Hai nami bichlal tzorach lekasho hu. This quality of earth is in the category of needing to be crushed. V'chol hagas shmoi v'osur, and this quality of earth would be considered chol hagas and hence not acceptable. So the level of earth clumpiness that is such that it needs to be crushed, but it can be crushed by hand, would be a point of difference. According to the first lashon, that level of earth clumpiness would be suitable. According to the second version, it would not be suitable. Tonu Rabbanan v'chisahu. We continue with this topic of materials that are suitable for covering. Yochol, the pasuk that says v'chisahu, we now darshan this pasuk. Yochol yichasenu ba'avonim o yichpe olav esakli. All the pasuk says is, you shall cover the blood. Had I had just that word and not any continuation, let's say, is the intention of the Torah when it says v'chisol to use stones or invert a vessel over it? So to this we answer, Talmud Lomar, the afar. The pasuk continues with the word be'afar. It says v'chisahu be'afar, means afar meaning dirt. So that will exclude stones and the inverting of a kli over a over the shechita blood. The ein li ela afar. Well, from this I would say that only dirt can be used. But in the Mishnah, we certainly learn many more substances. Minayin l'rabois zevel hadak. From where do I know to include the following list of items? The list of items here, many of them were found in the Mishnah already. For example, zevel hadak, v'chol hadak, u'shchikas avonim, that's ground stones, ground up stones, as opposed to full stones that were mentioned in the reisha of this source. Here we're making reference to shchikas avonim, u'shchikas charosis, a ground up shard, u'ne'urus pishtan daka. This is fine debris that when shaking out or beating the flax, this material it gets separated from the pishtan, the flax. This is the ne'urus pishtan daka, that's the debris. U'nesores shel haroshin daka, fine sawdust. The seed, lime, the charosis, a shard, levena umegufa shekoshan, the shard or brick or barrel cover that have been crushed. From where do I know that these are suitable? Even though the pasuk had said be'afar, so how do I know about these substances as being suitable? Talmud lomar v'chisahu. The word v'chisahu appears. It's true, it says v'chisahu be'afar, but Rashi explains, since the pasuk does not say u'be'afar yichasenu, that would have limited me to afar, to dirt, but rather it says v'chisahu be'afar. So the word v'chisahu appears before be'afar, telling us that we can expound on the word v'chisahu by itself, so that v'chiso serves to include more things than just ofar. Yochol shani marbe af zevel hagas, and now we go on with a list of items that are not suitable. So should I include for covering zevel hagas, clumpy dung, v'chol hagas, clumpy earth, u'shchikas kli matchis, metal filings, u'levena u'megufa shalokoshan, a brick or a barrel seal that have not been crushed, the kemach, flour, the subin, umursan, the different qualities of bran coming from the shells that cover the wheat kernel, the wheat grain. Talmud lomar be'afar. The word be'afar comes to exclude this list of items just cited. What is it that you see fit to include the first part of the source, the list of that was found in the first part of the source, and exclude the latter list? Once the pasuk has the v'chiso word, which is inclusive, so maybe I should include everything. On the other hand, we have be'afar, which is exclusive. So what is it that determines what to be included and what to be excluded? Marbe ani es elu, I include as being fit for kisui, these items, shein min afar, items that are considered dirt, that are a type of dirt. Umotzi ani es elu, those things that were excluded are things, shein min afar, that are not considered in the category of afar. The Gemara here suggests maybe we should approach the pasuk differently, using a different rule of pasuk expansion or drusha. Ema v'chiso equals klal, ofar equals prat. Maybe when looking at the pasuk, we should look at the words as follows. V'chiso would be an inclusive expression, a klal, a general expression, and ofar being a limitation expression, a prat, or a detail. So you have a general followed by a detail. And the rule says, klal u prat, ein b'chlal elamashe b'prat, when you have a verse structure like this, general and then specific, we say that that in the final analysis, all that is included is that which is signified by the prat, by the detail. And the result will be ofar in midi achrin alo. Dirt, yes, and nothing else. So how is it that I... why is it then that I don't darshan the pasuk with this very limiting approach, saying only dirt, not even including other things that are called min ofar, types of dirt, but basic dirt from the ground? Omar Rav Mori. Rav Mori answers, the reason that I don't darshan this pasuk in this fashion of klal uprat, mishum dahave klal hatzorich leprat. This is an exceptional case. It's a klal, it's a general that needs the specific in order to help define what is referred to by the klal in the first place. Rashi expands on this idea, and he points out that if I would have had just v'chiso and not ba'afar, I would have thought that covering includes complete items as well as fine items, particle, fine, powdery items. So that I would have two very general categories. I therefore need the prat to help define the general category of coverings, and therefore the prat doesn't limit me to the item itself, namely dirt itself, but it helps to define the general category, and we'll say exclude solid type coverings like inverted vessels and the like. As a result of this, we have this new rule that says, V'chol klal hatzorch leprat, ein donin oisoi beklal uprat. When you have a general statement that itself was vague in the sense that it covered two broad categories, in such a case, then we don't say the ein b'chal alamashe b'prat. As we continue in the Gemara, we discuss we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the Nosei heading, Klolo Shel Rav Nachman Bar Chisda. The rule that he tells us is Ein Mechasin Ela V'Dover Shezorin Bo Umatzmiach. We use as a as material for covering things that you would plant in it, and things would grow. There is a Tosfos over here that points out that on the surface of things, it looks like what he is saying is what's found already in the Mishnah. So Tosfos says, "Elo b'davar shezorin bo matzmiach," in the wide lines, "Limute afar midbar kasi." This is coming to exclude the dirt or sand found in a desert. The lo shaminon mimasnisin. The tzmochin gedelin bo me'alehen. Elo, demas shezorin bo eino matzmiach. From the Mishnah, Tosfos is pointing out, I wouldn't have necessarily known to exclude this material. Let us now turn back to the Gemara and continue with Rava's point. Omar Rava, hi burcha. We'll notice that we have a long point marking. We have a nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the nekuda, the nun, is a point. It's a long point taking up all of these lines of the Gemara. Rava says that what has been just taught by Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda is burcha. It's something that's unreliable, something that is stated out of ignorance. Omar Lei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. We should point out that the long point is really going on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's observation, his response to Rava. He says to Rava, my burchasei, what's unreliable about Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda's teaching? Even though both of these rabbis have the name Rav Nachman, they're different people. One is the son of Rav Chisda, and the other one is Bar Yitzchok, the son of Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says to Rava, what is unreliable? Why do you call it unreliable, the teaching of Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda? Ano amriso nihale, I in fact am the one that taught it to him. Umeho masniso amriso nihale, and based on the following Tanaic source, I told him this principle. And here it is. This is the source from which Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda based his teaching, a teaching that he received from Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, which in turn was based on this source. Hoy mahalich b'midbar, person was walking in the desert. Desert is characterized as having ground that things don't grow in. V'ein lo ofor l'chasos, and he has no dirt to cover, even though he's walking in a desert full of dirt, isn't it? And yet it's described as he doesn't have dirt to through which to fulfill kisui hadam. What should he do? Shochek dinor zav u'mechase. Well, he can grind up a gold coin and use the gold filings for covering. The source continues, however, the main point is, since the source describes someone walking in the midbar and and having no material, for no ready material for doing kisui hadam, and we know that the midbar is something that doesn't sprout forth plant life, we therefore can see a basis for Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda's teaching that one is not to use substances that don't that are not used for planting and growing things. The source continues, Hoya mahalich b'svina, v'ein lo ofer l'chasos. A person finds himself on a boat and doesn't have dirt for kisui adam. Soreif taliso umechase. He has the option of burning an article of clothing and using the ash for kisui. The Gemara now, in looking at these two examples in the source, says, Bishlamo soreif taliso umechase. I can understand that as being suitable for kisui adam. Ashkechon efer de ikri ofer. There's a precedent for ash being referred to as ofar. The pasuk says v'chisov ofar. Ofar is dirt. In this source we describe ash as being suitable. Well, the pasuk in describing the pora duma, which is a cow that's burnt for the purpose of tara for tumas meis, the pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this, me'afar sreifa sachatos, and the word afar with an ayin indicates dirt. And yet, it's describing the ash of the cow. So we see from here that ash is referred to by the term ofar, referring to dirt. Hence, ash is also suitable for covering. Ela dinar zahav min olan. From where do you know to suggest the grinding of a gold coin and using the gold filings as ofar for kisui hadam? So to this we answer, Omar Rabbi Zera, the afros zohav loy. You have a posuk that uses the term afros, so the plural of afar, dirt, and zohav. So we see that gold, and we'll have to say specifically gold filings, falls under the category of afar. This, of course, is as opposed to something we learned on the third line from the top of this page, where it mentions shchikas kli matris, ground up metal vessels, would not be suitable. But because this pasuk refers to gold, specifically that material, when it's filed down, is considered ofar. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source in which a machlokas beis Shammai and beis Hillel is featured regarding the use of ash. Ein mechasen ela ba'ofar, divrei beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says one can use only ofar. Ubeis Hillel omrim motzinu efer shekorui ofar. Beis Hillel says that ash as well can be used, in that it is referred to as Ofar Shinemar, Velokhula Tomei, Me'afar, Srefas, Vechule Hachatos. We cited this earlier, courtesy of Rashi, and you can see this is where that source comes from. That the Pasuk itself refers to ash by the term Ofar. Now, if that be the case, so why does Beis Shammai not accept ash as Ofar? Ubeis Shammai, they say, Ofar Srefa Ikri, Ofar Stamo Lo Ikri. It's true the Pasuk refers to ash using the term Ofar, but it's in a compound form, namely a joint word, Ofar Srefa. But Ofar, as is found in the context of Kisi Adam, where the Pasuk just uses the word Ofar alone, without a compound expression, so ash is not called Ofar. Ash, at best, is called Ofar Srefa. And as a result of that, Beis Shammai feels that ash is not suitable for Kisei Adam. Tana. We have a Tanaic source. Hosifu Alehen added to the list of items that's suitable for Kisui. Hashochor v'hakochol. Shochor is crushed coals. Kochol is another type of substance, often found in the Shas as used for as a type of cosmetic. V'nikras pisulin, stone dust. V'yesh omrim af hazarnich, and some add even zarnich to the list of substances. In some translations, the word for zarnich appears as orpiment. Rashi uses a French word, also spelling out orpiment. As we go on in the Gemara, we have two comments of Rava, and they're featured in diamonds, and they refer to the reward that Avram Avinu received for certain comments that he made. And as we go on, we will see them. Omar Rava, Bishar Shom Avram Avinu V'anochi Ofer V'Efer, in the reward, in the merit of Avram Avinu expressing with great humility his being Ofer V'Efer. He calls himself dirt and ash, which is an expression of extreme humility. So, Zachu Bonov Lishtei Mitzvos. The descendants of Rom, namely the Jewish people, merited receiving two mitzvahs, Efer Pora, the Ofar Sota, the ash of the red heifer, and the Ofar used in the Sota process, which was a situation where a married woman was suspected of immorality. The Ofar Sota was used in determining her, trying to determine her innocence. The Gemara asks, "V'lech shovnami ofar kisui hadam?" Why, in considering the mitzvahs that Avram Avinu merited, why is the dirt used for kisui hadam not considered? Answer: Hosam hechshir mitzvah iko hanol leko. There is performance of a mitzvah. However, there isn't benefit. It's something that one is expected to do, but there's no obvious or direct benefit from that mitzvah other than the performance of the mitzvah, which is not the case with Ofer Pora. Efer Pora, the ash of the Pora, benefited the person who received it in the sprinkled form. He is able to purify himself from being in a state of tumas meis, ritual impurity, as a result of contact with a corpse. And Ofer Sota also provides hanah, namely benefit to the couple, that if after drinking the dirt water mixture that's involved in the Sota process, she becomes, hopefully, it will enable the couple to continue living together. The Omar Rava, Beschar Shoma Avram Avinu Im Michut V'ad Sroch Na'al, after the war that was featured in Sefer Bereishis between the four kings and the five kings, Avram Avinu meets the king of Sodom and says, I won't take from a string nor a shoe strap. I won't take anything from you. So he mentioned Chut and Sroch Na'al. Sroch Na'al is also an expression that's appropriate for that as a ritzua, like a strap, a leather strap that's characteristic of shoes. Zochu bonov lishtei mitzvahs. The descendants of Ram merited two mitzvahs, luchut shel tcheles, the string associated with tzitzis, and the ritzua shel tefillin, straps that are accompanying mitzvah tefillin. The Gemara points out that I can understand the significance or the benefit from the ritzua shel tefillin. Bishlomo ritzua shel tefillin dechtiv kisiv uru'u kol amoraz kishem Hashem nikro lecho. The tefillin are associated with this pasuk, that the nations of the world will see that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is upon us. V'tanya Reblozer HaGadol Omer, Elu tefillin sheberosh. This is a reference to the tefillin worn on the head that are visible to everybody. It should be pointed out regarding the tefillin sheberosh, when the pasuk says that all the nations of the world will see that the name of the Almighty is upon you, it also says, and they will fear you. So that we see is a benefit, a hanor that we get from the mitzvah. Ella, the Gemara continues, Chut shel tcheles mayhi. What is the hanor associated with the chut shel tcheles, with the tzitzis? The Gemara answers with a Tanaic source, Desanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ma nishtana tcheles mikol hatzivoinin. In the mitzvah of tzitzis, there is a string that's dyed the tchelis color, a type of bluish color. And here the Brisa is asking, what is the significance of the tchelis color in the tzitzis? So the Brisa answers, tchelis doim eliyam. The tchelis color is characteristic of the color of the sea. V'yam doim elorakia. Now we'll see a chain of items connected one to the other. The yam is similar in color to the rokia, to the heaven. The rokia doima le'evin sapir, and the heaven is like the a stone, a precious stone called evin sapir. The evin sapir doima le'kisei hakovod, and the evin sapir is associated with the heavenly throne. Dichtiv vayiru es elokei Yisrael v'tachas raglov kemaisa livnas hasapir. Uksiv, Kemare, Evan, Sapir, Demus, Kisei. So we see the Sapir is associated with the, this last pasuk with associated with the heavenly throne. The Rashi, I believe, adds what would be the main point, and we've featured this with a dashed underlined section in the Rashi, and let us read that. When the Almighty gazes upon his heavenly throne, Nizkar b'mitzvazu shehi keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. It reminds him, so to speak, of this mitzvah that has a significance, making it equal to all other mitzvahs. So that the mitzvah of tzitzis that we perform creates a certain bond, if you will, between us and the Almighty. That would be the description of the hanor that we get, so to speak, from that particular mitzvah. So we see that in honor or in merit of Avraham Avinu having said, Im michut v'ad sroch nal, we merited these two mitzvahs that contain within them an element of hanov, of benefit and pleasure that we derive from them. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.